All the time the choir coming up, get the choir, we'll start just a few minutes. Just turn it up just a little bit, just so Tim can have something. Testimony as well. Number 216. 216 will give you a chance to find it. Dwelling in Beulah Land. And let's stand as we sing. 216. quiet practice tonight. By the way, we're getting ready for a great cantata. So I want to see what they have left in them. So this time we get to praise God, I want just the choir to shout her out, okay? So let's sing the last verse. Choir, get ready. Here we go.
Here we hear the words of God and making us and praise God. Hearing now His voice, the voice might be the way He plans. Dwelling in the Spirit, hear Thy word of hope and salvation.
Sing in just a minute about Beulah Land. I didn't do it on purpose. I listened in a few minutes as they sing.
All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Good to see you tonight. And then we'll have the choir sing another song. Brother Rick Richardson, do you mind leading us in prayer, please, brother?
Thank you.
thank the choir. Great song. Well, we're going to stand and have a little handshaking time before we sing our next song. So let's stand, all home folks. Let's welcome each other tonight.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this evening, and thank you for being back here in the service tonight. We'll get right back into the rest of the service in a moment. Just let me mention a couple of prayer requests real quickly. Of course, continue to pray for Christy Todd at Beach Home recovering from the hip surgery. And by the way, thank you for giving the way you did this morning. The love offering this morning was $250. And so we put that, Brother Steve's going to get that on a gift card that we can give to them to use throughout the week for meals and whatever else they may need, just to help them out a little bit. I talked with Christy this afternoon. I think Kelly and Rick and Martha took lunch over there for them today. And so be praying for them, and I appreciate your good giving. And we'll do that again later on just to kind of keep the card for them, you know, whatever they use. So remember that. Then got a sort of a disconcerting call this afternoon after, I guess we all found out, probably after you visited with Christy, is that right? Or maybe you already knew it then before. Their mother, Margie Johnson. We've been praying for Margie for years, known Margie for years ever since I came to Columbia. And, of course, she's got Alzheimer's and has had it now for several years. But they discovered over this weekend, and we'll know more for sure maybe Monday or Tuesday, they're almost sure that she has colon cancer. And so please remember Margie and her husband Aaron. Of course, that's Kelly's mother, and I know Kelly's heart broke over that. Be honest with you, with the disease she has, but she's probably lived longer than many people expected. But she's such a precious, precious lady. And, you know, the Lord can still touch her and heal her. He can do that. I don't ever put anything past the realm of God's opportunity, but we sure do want to be praying. How old is Margie now, Kelly? 80 years young. has played the piano over the Alpine over 45 years. And man, I'm telling you, you could just look over at her and say, play such and such. And before you knew it, she already had your key figured out, and she's just playing it. And I don't mean pecking at it, I mean playing it. And what a blessing. She played with the choir. She was so humble, you just fuss at her, she'd just say, okay. And, you know, Aaron couldn't do that, but we could. And, but anyhow, Margie John, pray for Margie. She is over at Life Care. That's where she's been for these years. And, I guess, like I understand, they'll know more tomorrow and Tuesday. And so, you know, but they feel pretty confident that's where it is. And, of course, that's bad news. But, you know, the Lord can still, he's still God, amen? And he can do things that we can't, doctors can't. So I'll tell you, Margie's been a real trooper, and she's been going through the Alzheimer's now for a long time. And I know her family is praying for her, and we want to be praying with Kelly. In fact, why don't we just have special prayer right now for both of these ladies, and we'll do that right now. Okay, let's pray. Father, we sure love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that you're still God, and above you, there is no other. Father, the Bible said, is anything too hard, the Lord? And we know it's not. Lord, cancer is not too hard for God to cure. Any disease that threatens our lives is not too hard for God to take care of. And so, Lord, tonight we pray on behalf of Sister Margie Johnson, a great, great, great Christian lady. Lord, I have nothing but wonderful memories of Margie Johnson. Lord, she was so good to my family and I when we first came to Columbia. Many, many nights we'd go to their home and fellowship together. She'd fix sandwiches and have Coca-Colas and things. We'd just have a wonderful time at their home. And now, Lord, here it is years later. Unfortunately, time has marched on, and because of the Alzheimer's, she doesn't know anyone. And now, Lord, looks like she may have colon cancer. God, I'm glad that you know all about that. I'm glad there's no cancer that can stand up to the mighty touch of God. And so, Lord, if it's your will, touch her and heal her. If not, then, Lord, make it all as it should be, as God watches over his children. The Bible said that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Bible said he rejoices when one of his saints comes on. And so, Lord, Margie Johnson has been a great saint of God for many years. Has touched many, many lives right here in this building. Several people have told me how Margie made an effect on them, Sunday school or in piano in the music program. And so, Lord, we pray for her and Brother Aaron, of course, for Kelly and her brother Steve. And, God, we sure pray that whatever happens here, that God will get the glory. And, Lord, through all of this, I know one day, if you decide not to heal her, that she'll leave this life and wake up on the other side. The Alzheimer's will be gone. The cancer will be gone. She'll have a perfect body. She'll be just like Jesus, shouting all over heaven with her mother and her sister and others. And then, Lord, won't be long, but we'll be right there with her and shouting all over heaven for all eternity. Lord, give grace to the family and, of course, guide the doctors as they try to determine the best route, course of action. And, Lord, we pray for Sister Christy as well. Lord, you continue to touch her. She told me this afternoon when I talked to her, she had a better day today than yesterday. She slept well last night. And we know there's a long healing process here. And so we sure pray that you'll just continue to touch her, help her to recover quickly, help those muscles and bones to just fuse and heal together as they should, so that she'll no longer have to use that cane and be so worried about her hips and knees. And God, we all know how that is. And so we pray that you'll just watch over these precious, precious ladies, and God have your way. But most of all, Lord, may we and they both understand, and I know Margie does not physically understand in this life, but Lord, who knows what she may see and understand on the other side. Help them to realize that it's all for the glory of God. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. I hope you'll remember to pray for them along. I want to mention one other thing. The call to glories that we get for your daily devotion, they now make it in large print. So if any of you are interested, now we have to order, and I don't want to order them if nobody's going to use them. I'm not even exactly sure what the cost is. They just sent it in the packet we just got. And it is large print. I mean, if you have trouble seeing that, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, I know some folks this would be good for. I know many people use reading glasses and so on and so forth. But if this will help you, then you need to let me know. Brother Joaquin's at a wedding tonight, and some friends from Germany that they met when he met Sabine. And they wanted Sabine and Joaquin to actually sit at the head table with them. They're that close of friends. Joaquin said, be sure and pray that he'll be a good testimony there. And I know he will. All he has to do is say, ooh, real loud, scare half that crowd, scare the devil out of half that crowd. But anyway, you pray for them. But anyway, we'll get hold of these. But I just need you to let me know tonight. Of course, we still have the month of November, which this is. And so we'll order them for December. If you want any, we'll make sure to get just what we need so that we don't have to pay for a bunch that we don't use, okay? So I did want to mention that to you tonight, okay? Let's see who else we got here. Stephanie Lyles is still at home sick. She just wanted to try to come to church today but could not. I told you Brother Watson moved to the wedding. The Petersons both having to work. Brother Jimmy told me Wednesday night, 10 days straight. They have to work at Walmart. Of course, with the holidays coming up, you can imagine how that is. So hope they'll be all right. And, of course, Christy's at home recovering. Miss Bobby's in Anderson. So let's remember these folks, all of these folks, in prayer. Okay? All right, Brother Brian.
Quickly, Rusty Anchor is on Tuesday at 10 o'clock here at the church. Wednesday night service is 7 o'clock here at the church, of course. And then Saturday we're meeting at 3:30 at the church to drive down to the stadium, get a bunch of tracks out. We'll be leaving here around 3:30, and we'll be getting down there and separating and going on, getting organized and separating, going our separate ways down there and passing out tracks. So you make sure to get involved with that. Hope to have a good crowd on Saturday doing that. And then we won't talk about all the Christmas stuff. We announced that this morning. We'll announce that in a big way next Sunday morning again. Just keep that in mind. We're having Thanksgiving midweek service, not 2 days from now, but 9 days from now, on Tuesday the 20th. I think Tuesday the 20th. If you come here on Tuesday the 13th, you better be here at 10 o'clock with the Rusty Anchor, or else you won't get in here. But Tuesday the 20th, we'll be here instead of Wednesday the 21st. Thanksgiving is on the 22nd, and you'll be thankful you remembered all that.
All right, I've got nothing. All right.
275. I'm going to give you a chance to find It Is Well With My Soul. 275. Everybody take a hymnal and stand and join us as we sing. Everybody found it. You should know the first verse probably anyway. Let's sing.
When peace might only end of my way, when sorrow's white fever won't grow, whatever my loss, thou hast taught me to say,
the third verse. Then when we get to the fourth verse, we'll pick up the tempo just a little bit when we think about the second coming, and then we'll have the instruments pop out on that last chorus. Let's sing the third together.
My sin over me, my
thank you.
seated, we're going to sing a birthday song. I'm sorry. Haley has been bothering the mess out of me. I told her I was going to embarrass her. Oh, I tell you what, you be seated. Let Haley remain standing. Anybody else with a birthday in November? November, stand. Okay, Martha? And okay. I know her name and I forgot. I just took a blank right there. Okay, anybody else? All right, let's sing happy birthday to thee.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
By the way, Haley's going to be 16. She's been promising me when she was 16, she's going to sing in the choir. So as soon as the new year starts, if you don't see her up in the choir, you see her after church, okay? Is that good enough, Haley? Okay. Anniversaries, any anniversaries in November? Okay, we got some down here. How long, Brother Ralph? Do you remember? I mean, how many years? Is he right? Is that a man? Okay, so 68 years. Anybody else? All right, let's say
happy anniversary to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, thank you.
Amen. Right, isn't that wonderful? 68 years together. What about that? And Miss Etta May has regretted it for years and years. But she figured, well, I'm stuck. She's used to it now. Yeah, she just gets by with him. Is that right, Miss Etta May? That's exactly what I'd say. All right. Well, come on, ushers. Let's, Brother Joaquin. Yeah, come on, Brother Rich. You and Brother John will take care of the offering this evening. And again, I want to thank you for helping out the Cogs the way you did. That ought to last them for a good while. And we appreciate your good, faithful giving, your kindness to give. And I hope you'll continue to do that. I'm going to mention that in 2019, we're going to do something a little different with our mission. Many of you know or have heard of faith promise giving. And I think we're going to try that next year, Lord willing, to really try to bump forward our missions program and be able to, you'd be surprised. Now, I've got a man that I'm going to contact that will come and help us with that and kind of give us an idea. And I've known about it for a long time, never felt impressed, and I don't know why. I just never did, but it seems like, Lord, I don't know if it's the Lord or something's laid impressed my heart to try to do this. The reason I say is because you'll be surprised what you can do when you trust God, and the whole idea is faith-giving, you know, giving by faith. My mother's church, for example, and she brags on this all the time, they've been doing this now for several years, and their church is probably twice our size, but when they started this, they were just about our size in Rock Hill. And they decided to do faith promise giving, and they're very missions-minded, just like we are. And when it's all said and done, for that year, and I'm not sure exactly what year, but for that one year, they gave over $200,000 in missions. Now, you look around and say, there ain't no way we can do that. Well, that's why it's called faith promise giving. My mother has told me more times than I can. She's retired now, she's living on a fixed income. She said, I told Lord I'd give X amount of dollars, whether if I had it or not, I was going to give it. And she said, every month I give it, and every month God gives it back. I'm saying that's the reward for what is called faith promise giving. Can you imagine how many missionaries we could support if we could have $200,000? I mean, Tabernacle in Greenville does this, and they of course, their church is pretty good size, but they give over $400,000, almost half a million dollars to missions. And somebody said, well, don't we have to kind of be careful? You just do what God says, and you don't have to, when God's involved, you don't have to be careful. I might preach, you know those things. I might preach down the line. I might not better say anything else, give away my message. But it's true. You cannot out-give God. And you and I found this to be true in our lives, and many of you have done that. If you tithe, you know that God takes care of you if you'll just do what's right. So many times, God doesn't even ask for extra. Now, faith promise giving will be extra. That's not part of your tithe. That's an offering like we do on Wednesday nights. And even then, even with what we do now, our Wednesday night giving, and most of that goes to missions, is able, by the time the end of the year, you have given enough to take care of at least one quarter of our missions giving. So we do it every quarter, four times a year. By the end of the year, you've given enough extra besides what the church puts in for missions that literally it pays for another entire, if we went 4 months, 3 months and didn't give a dime to missions, we'd have enough from your giving to take care of our missionaries right now. So I'd like to be able to increase our missions, and then I'd like to get that, you know, one time we were at 100 missionaries, and no reason why we can't do that again. Or if we don't have as many, increase their amount that they get. Because, you know, as you know, the cost of living doesn't just rise in America, it rises everywhere. And so, you know, but it will open up so many avenues. So I'm just asking you to, I'm just putting the seed in your mind right now. We'll talk more about it in maybe after Christmas. And I've got a man in mind to call to have come and share it with us. Brother Jimmy Rose at one time was one of the greatest faith promise preachers you'll ever hear, but he's just not able to travel and go anymore. And so Brother Seed gave me the name of another man that many of you know, Brother Dwayne Whittemore. We used to support Brother Dwayne years ago. His son, Lamar, is pastoring, is it North Dakota or South Dakota? South Dakota. And out there, that wilderness out there, he and his wife, and they started a radio station out there, and they're doing good. But Brother Dwayne Whittemore is a great, great man, great preacher, and I found out that he's very active in Faith Promise. He is the head of Anchor Baptist Mission up in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. There are three Anchor Baptist churches between Pisgah Forest, which is just across the state line in North Carolina, and then here, that's Anchor Baptist of North Carolina, our church here, and one in Beaufort, Anchor Baptist Church. That's the only ones I know of the three between us. And so he is the director of Anchor Baptist Missions. They have their own mission board through the church there. And I think we support some missionaries through that, don't we? Where's the season of the nursery? I think we had maybe one or two. And so anyway, just kind of keep that in mind, all right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offer. Brother Gardner, you ask the blessing, please.
Pastor comes tonight. Bethany's coming with us with the music.
I just want to say before I sing, Anna told me yesterday, I don't pay attention to the loop, I said. He told me yesterday that I had to sing tonight. And I'm like, I don't know what to sing, what should I sing? And so literally up until this afternoon, a little bit before we left to come here, I had been up and I woke up and I had saw Haley had sent me a message and I saw where Brother Steve sent a message about Miss Margie. And the first thing I thought of, and probably every time when I hear her name, I go back to, it's been 17 years since we've been here, and the very first time we walked into the previous church where she was a great lady. Me and my mom, we talked about her all afternoon, how sweet she was and how nice she was, but I remember she had asked me if I knew how to sing, and I told her that I sang, and there was this one song that's the only song I really sang, because I didn't really know many, and so I remember meeting her on Sunday afternoon, that very first Sunday, and her and Mr. Aaron, and we had that early, and we practiced this song, and she had never heard it, at least not to my knowledge. Like Dad talked about, she picked it up in 2 seconds, as long as it wasn't a key of G, because she hated that key, but it wasn't, and her and Brother Aaron sang it with me that night, and I think we sang it, I don't even know how many times we sang it, we sang a lot, and I know that she's the only piano player I've ever seen where she can play a piano, and she can praise the Lord and raise her hand while she was singing and never miss a beat. And I know that's because the power of God is in her life. And I just thought about this song immediately, and I told Brian, I said, hey, I'm going to sing that tonight. I was like, just in honor of Miss Margie and the good memories that I've had with her. I hope it's a blessing.
There've been many trials I faced since I started in this place, and there've been times it seemed no hope was in sight. And there've been times that the valley seems so long, dark and cold. But my Lord has been there every step of the way. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've tasted in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face. Now there have been many prayers I've prayed since I started on this way, and many times it seems an answer would never come. And many times I've grown weary and forgotten the prayer I prayed, but my Lord remembers and answers every prayer. And it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've tasted in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face. Now there've been many friends I've met since I've started on life's way, who have said that I'll go with you all the way. Oh, but they have turned and are gone, leaving me standing all alone. But my Lord has been my best friend all of the way. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've faced in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face. And it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've faced in His dear name. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face. And it'll be worth it all when we see His face.
All right, thank you, Bethany. Great song there. Well, get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Isn't that song true?
And worth every mile. Sometimes you wonder if it's worth doing. The devil will tell you that. But then you see what God does and what He can do, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, it was worth the trip. I'm glad to see, Don, the hell are you?
12, 11, 10?
I'm here weeping at the altar.
10-year-old.
God, I'll tell you. The Bible says, God will use a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
Right here.
That's right.
Indeed. Archie
had a beautiful alto voice.
Of course, she came.
Everybody's business.
You just had to know her to be able to appreciate what we're talking about, I'm telling you. And so let's, you know, just keep praying. Pray for Kelly and them, too, of course. And, you know, I hope God will touch our young folks. Go ahead, Brother Keith.
Right ahead.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Keith.
All right. Turn to Psalm chapter 78, if you would. I was in chapter 81 this morning. I want to look at a few verses, and just real quickly, Asaph has written this same psalm. These are historical psalms, Psalm 78, 79, 80, and 81. And this one is very detailed in Israel's trip through the wilderness. I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. But I want you to know, I want to show you something. And
One of the things I wanted to show you, and Brother Steve will know this, is verse 19. I mentioned this morning about Dr. Sidler preaching a message on Can God? And this is in verse 19 is where he got that text. As they were in the wilderness, yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And he went to preaching on Can God, buddy, I'm telling you. And so I love this song. And again, when you read it, it's very repetitious. Sounds a lot like some of the books of the law. When it actually happened many times in the scripture, including the New Testament. The Jews were reminded of where they came from and how they got where they were. And this psalm tells that story. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. We mentioned it this morning on getting honey out of the rock. Now I want you to notice, though, in the verse number 22, and we'll start reading right there. If you'll stand with me, please, and we'll read a few verses tonight, and then we'll pray, and I'll give you the message for this, you get to the house. Verse 22, the Bible said, because they believed not in God. Remember we talked this morning about how they hated the Lord? That doesn't mean that they hated him like, you know, but they just didn't believe in him. They didn't believe what he was doing. They lost their way. The Bible says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. So he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, and did eat angels' food. That's that manna we were talking about. He sent them meat to the full, the quail. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation, so they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, in other words, while God was blessing, they started forgetting. Isn't it a shame? You know, you don't have to be away from God a long time to start forgetting. All you got to do is take your eye off of him. While he's still in the process of doing good for you, we have to be very careful that we don't stray and start thinking the way they did. Verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they saw him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. Now notice, their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time, he turned his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. Father, we love you tonight. Bless the word of God to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I want to look at those two verses just a moment, and we'll go to another place, and I want to preach a little while on the heart that is right. The heart that is right. Here the Israelites, as you know the story, and I've read some of it, so I'm not going to rehash it, but the Bible says in verse number 37, their heart was not right with him. Now you'll notice nowhere, you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where God's heart was not ever right with us. God's heart is always right. Why? Because he's God, and he's always right. And so his heart never strayed. He never did to them what they did to him. And even when wrath was falling, he still would listen for them to say, Father, forgive me. Forgive my sin. And the Bible said he would forgive their iniquity. And yet in all of that, the Bible said their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So I want to preach, as I said, for a few moments, on the heart right. Now, real quickly, hold your place and turn to 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. Chapter number 16, that's page number 336, if you have a Scofield Bible. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, and of course this is the story of Samuel after he's left with Eli the prophet, and you know his mother Hannah promised God would give her a son, that she would wean him and then give him back to the Lord. And he was old enough to be weaned and old enough to be taken care of by someone else. She did exactly what she promised the Lord. She carried him to the temple and gave him to Eli the prophet to raise. And of course, we know that Samuel became the great prophet of Israel. He was the one who anointed David. He's the one that anointed Saul first. He's the one that anointed David later. And so Samuel was a great man of God, but it started when he was a little boy, just like Dante. I'm telling you. And look what it says now. He's brought in, or now he's grown up. He has been anointed to be king. But in the meantime, there's that division between him and Saul. And so you'll notice now in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature." Remember, that's the only reason that Israel chose Saul to be king in the first place. They never one time prayed and asked God to give them the right man. He just got everybody together, and he was taller than everybody else. And they said, "There's our king right there." And so the Bible said, "Don't look on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Notice, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now that heart, as you know, is not the muscle that pumps your blood. It is your spirit. It is your personality. It's who you are. Where the Bible says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your desire is, where your character lies, is in what the Bible refers to as the heart. And God said, "I see the heart." We cannot see a person's character until it's revealed to us. We cannot see a person's personality until we've met them and been around them and it's been revealed to us. And by the way, I'll tell you this, and it's proven to be right every time. You can get around someone who's faking being a Christian, who's playing the game, and they'll talk good for a while, but somewhere down the line, their real character is going to show. You're going to find out what their heart really is like. And that's why it's important for you and I as believers to stay close to God and keep the things of God. That the Bible said that David hid God's word in his heart, not in the muscle that pumps, but in his character. All of David's life was molded by the word of God. He hid God's word in his heart that he might not sin against God. And we must do the same. And so the Bible is clear. Now go back to Psalm 78 there for just a few moments. I will give you three thoughts on the heart that is right. Sometimes it happens to all of us, saved or lost, but yes, it happens to saved people. Our heart may not be right with God. And when that happens, here's what we see happening. When you get around a Christian who shows these characteristics, you will recognize instantly. You don't even ask, well, we always think of them, "Hey, what's wrong? What's the problem?" But if you see this in their life, you know instantly what the problem is. If they know, they claim to know Christ. And by the way, if you show these things, you ought to know what's wrong with you. Sometimes we'll get up and the wife will say, "Man, well, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what it is. Well, really, you should know. Because here's, when you see these things in a person's life, here's how you know that their heart is not right with God. Number one, you'll see in them a burdened heart. Now, Christians can have a burdened heart. I have a burden for my brother. My youngest brother just got saved, and now he has a burden for our middle brother. And that's a blessing, and that's a good heart, that's a right heart. But a lot of times when Christians get away from God, and they get away from the Bible, and they get away from prayer, and they get out of church, what happens is their heart becomes burdened. Now, remember what Jesus said? "Casting all your care upon me, because I care for you." He said, when you do that, he said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." But when a man or a woman or a girl that claims to be a Christian, and they're away from God, suddenly it's a burden that is very heavy. You watch their countenance. Even remember what God told David about Saul. Don't pay attention to his countenance. Because a man can walk around and have the real burden and trouble in his life and walk around and try to smile and try to fake his way through it. But after a while, you'll find out that it's not real. We've all done that, by the way. Say amen right there. We've all tried to fake our way through things, hoping it'd get better. It doesn't always work that way, does it? And so we get this burden, and it's not a burden, it's not the light burden that God gives us. It's a heavy burden that comes with being away from God. When you have trouble in the family with your spouse or your children or your extended family, if it's something serious, it can become a burden and not the kind that you want to carry. You may tell your kids, hey, if you got a problem, come to me. But if you're having trouble and problems with your children or your spouse or someone in the church, suddenly that burden to help, the desire to help, now becomes weight. It becomes a yoke. It becomes something in your life that you had trouble getting past. And all of a sudden it creates from a burdened heart, then we see a broken heart. All of a sudden, and again, not the kind of broken heart that says, man, I want to pray for you, like you saw with Dante here tonight and with Kelly, weeping with a broken heart because they love someone and they're hurting for them. Instead, that broken heart, it gets mean and it gets hateful and it begins to aspire and try to come up with ways to get even. Amen. Hey, we're all guilty of wanting. When we get hurt, we want to get even. God said, you don't do that. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But we get that burdened heart, and all of a sudden our heart breaks, not because we love someone, but because we're mad. We're angry. It's kind of like when you get mad, you throw something on the ground. What happens? That whatever you throw gets broken. It's not broken out of love. It's not broken out of care. It's not broken because you want to see something go right. It's broken because you're mad. Amen. You know, when a dog gets rabies, they don't call him an angry dog. They call him a mad dog. There's a difference, you know. The Bible said there's such a thing as righteous indignation. You can actually get angry. In fact, Jesus said, be angry and sin not. You can be angry, and I'm not talking, I'm talking about angry at sin, and angry at the result and the reward of sin, and angry at what Satan does. But what happens is we turn all of that anger at that individual, and now it becomes madness. And our heart gets broken. Our fellowship gets broken. And by the way, let me carry that a little further. When that happens, your fellowship with God is now broken. You cannot, listen, you're never going to, you can do it. Because it's habit, but God's never going to show you things from the Bible when your heart's broken and burdened because of sin. When you're carrying some kind of something in you that's directed at somebody else, and you're just waiting for the opportunity to lower the boom on them. By the way, in our text, we find out that those Israelites hated the Lord, and the Bible says that they were that their heart was not right; they were not steadfast in covenant. But he forgave their iniquity. Let's bring that home for a few minutes. Everybody in this room has at some point, before you got saved and probably since you've been saved, gotten away from God, fellowship with God was broken, your heart gets broken, it gets burdened, because you know you're not right with God. Then the first thing you do when it comes to it, and you say, Lord, help me, I'm sorry. And what does he do? I say, no! Has your chance. I've heard you cuss me. I've heard you say bad things about me. And now you want me to do something good for you? By the way, that's the human response. There's a lot of folks that will not forgive others because they carry that grudge. I'll tell you right now, I'd never forgive them. Well, maybe you wouldn't if they came to you with a broken heart and your heart was right with God. You probably would. If you don't, you know what Jesus said? I can't help you. If you're not going to forgive him, I can't forgive you. Is that what he said? You got aught against the brother? He said, you leave your gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother. Then bring the gift back and we'll talk about it. Amen. So that certain heart becomes a broken heart. And then unfortunately, it really bottoms out in a bitter. And bitterness can destroy a life. Listen, a lot of people commit suicide because they're bitter. They're bitter because they have fallen. Christians, hey, you listen to me. Christians have committed suicide because they were bitter, because their heart was burdened, it was broken, and they wouldn't do what they had to do to get it right, just like those Israelites did. And the Bible said because they wouldn't get right, God had to kill an entire generation in the wilderness. But the Bible says bitterness, the root of bitterness. And by the way, roots don't come that way. They start as seeds. All it takes, listen, A person doesn't have to drink a fifth of liquor to learn how to drink. They take their first swallow.
I don't remember who I was riding with here the other week. I think Ralph.
Yeah, yesterday. Ralph and I rode together to Greenville, and he was talking about when he went in the Army as a 18-year-old. And, of course, when he got there, he decided he wanted to be like one of the boys, go out. And I don't think I'm telling you anything that would embarrass you, Ralph. I don't believe. And he said, I tried beers. He said, it was nasty. Hey, man, I was 14 when I first tasted beer. It was nasty. I don't know how folks drink that mess. Light, dark, head, I'm telling you, it's nasty. And I made up my mind. I'm not drinking that stuff. I'm telling you, if I try something once and I don't like it, don't come back to me about it. He's been trying to get me to drink coffee for 33 years. I ain't done it yet, and I'm not planning on doing it. I don't care how much mess you put in it. You can put ice cream in it. You can put soda pop in it. Man, you can put a gold bar in it. I'll take the gold, but I'm not drinking the coffee, I'll tell you right now. But he said, briefly, he said, I made up my mind I wasn't going to do that. But that didn't make him righteous. Ralph Hale had to get saved just like I did. Just like you did. And the point is simply bitterness. But, you know, somebody can hurt you and wrong you. Boy, that starts with a, and, you know, Ralph could have grown up been a drunk by taking that one drink. A lot of folks have, you know. They with drugs and immorality, you name it. So it's not a question of whether you're going to. It's a question of what seed was it planted. Could have gotten bitter at my father. He was an alcoholic. Could have got bitter with him. I am grateful that he wasn't a mean alcoholic. He didn't beat us. My dad spanked us because we beat it. Didn't beat us. There was a lot of times when maybe we didn't have everything we needed, but when he was sober up, he would take care of, you know, so I guess our story's a little different. The point is this. I watched my mother many times weep over him, being gone and out. Drunk, he didn't run around on my mother. He didn't do those things, at least not that I know of. And I heard that he did. She would weep over him. And I tell you, it's been easy to get bitter. My mother cried, man, I was ready to fight. I mean, something made my mother cry. When I made my mother cry, I wanted to fight myself. I mean, I'm telling you, it broke my heart. And I'm not bragging, and I'm ashamed. But I'd sass her, and I'd talk back to her, and I'd goad her until she started to cry, and then I'd feel like a low-down dog.
Yeah.
And you know what? She could have gotten bitter about that. Gave up on her oldest boy, but I'm glad she didn't. I'm glad there were times I'd come in from school, she'd be in the bedroom with the door shut, and I'd hear her in there talking. I knew my dad wasn't home, nobody else was home, I just got home. And I'd go up to the door, and I'd put my ear to the door, and she'd pray, and crying. When she wasn't crying because somebody heard her, she's crying because she had the kind of heart, had a burden for her son, get saved and serve the Lord. And so, what is this about a right heart? Let me give it to you quickly, because our time's gone. So quickly, look at Psalm 27. Back there just a moment. 27th Psalm. We're going to look at Psalm 27, 28, and I'm done. Just give you these thoughts real quickly, and then we'll be finished. It's Psalm 27, page 611, if you need the page number. What kind of heart is it that's a right heart? Look at chapter 27, and look at verse number 8. Bible says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, what's it say? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What kind of heart, the Bible says, is a right heart, the kind that seeks the Lord. A seeking, and that seeks after the things of God. You know why you're here, you know why you should be here tonight? Because you're seeking the things of God. Not because it's automatic, not because it's expected, although it is. But I wanted to come tonight, not because I'm the pastor and it's my job. I wanted to come because this is where I belong. You are my people. This is my place. This is where I can go and forget all that out there and find some rest and some comfort. And while I'm here, I want to seek the Lord. Whether I'm listening to the words of a song or listening to the choir sing or watching a young man weep at the altar or hear a daughter testifying about her mother. Hey, those are the kind of things that help me. If I come to church, that's what I want. But what about when I'm by myself? What about when you're out in this world? You know, you can't stay here 24/7. You'd be a cult sure enough, wouldn't you? Can't do it. You got to go home. You got to go to your job. You got to go to school. You got to do whatever it is you do. We all have to. But if our heart is right, then every day we're seeking after the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be praying 24/7. Doesn't mean you have to read your Bible every minute of the day. Doesn't mean you have to go to church every moment. I'm not saying those things are bad. God does not require that of us. Every time you open up God's Word, you ought to be looking for something. Amen? Every time you pray, you're asking for something. Every time you come to church, you need something. When I come to church, I come because I need something. I just may need you to say, hey, preacher, glad to be here. That might be all I need. I may need something more. When I come looking, seeking, Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. So we find a seeking heart. What happens with a seeking heart? It gives us an opportunity to worship, an opportunity to give, and an opportunity with next Saturday, Lord willing, we're going to be out handing out tracts. Everybody here, you know, unless the providence will be hindered, everybody here ought to be able to go with us.
Sure.
You say, I don't know about that. You ought to try it. At least try it once. You should say you obeyed the Lord one time.
Come on now.
And a seeking heart will say, Lord, I'm not sure what to do, but hey, I'm going to go do it because I want to honor you. I want a right heart inside of me. Then notice, if you would, in that same, or in chapter 28, look over there a moment. Chapter 28, right across the page there. From chapter 27, and look at verse number 7. The Bible said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. And notice the result. And I am helped. Amen. You know, when I go to the Lord, you know what I need? Help! Help! We had to put a sign out here and put a chain across her to keep people out, and it's not working too good. Had two already jammed through that chain. Now, the first one, didn't know anything about. I hope it tore the car up real good. The second one was an old lady who was looking for a funeral to go to, and she missed the turn and she ran in the chain. I called her. Actually, she called us. She did the right thing. She left us her name and phone number. She even called the police on herself. And that's really, some of you look right now, I wouldn't have done that. Maybe you wouldn't have had a right heart then.
Yeah.
And so we had to put a stop sign. You know, you think a chain across an entrance, but you get the idea, stop. You know what we have to do? You have to put a sign out there that says, stop. Now, you know, there's not much else we can do. Not really. Not unless we put a toll booth out here on the road and say, if you're going to turn in that drive, you got to pay a toll. I mean, you can only do so much. And then, but you know what? If they decide to ignore the sign, then let the chips fall where they may. Right? I called that woman. She's an elderly lady. She happened to be a Jehovah's Witness. I tried to witness her a little bit. She didn't want to hear it. It's all right. She was honest and forthright. So I said, you know what? If you'll just pay for the little sign, it costs $20. Chain's all right. Everything else, I mean, it took it out of the ground. But, hey, you know, I guarantee you her truck's probably more tore up than our chain was. So I'll let her do. But so she's going to give us $20 for that little sign. I promise you the next time she turns in our driveway, she'll notice that sign. You know why? She paid for it. You know? I'll tell you, when God does something good for us, we ought to recognize it always because he paid for it. We didn't deserve it. He trusted the Bible said, trust in the Lord. See, a trusting heart. From that trust in the Lord. Trusting in the promises of God. Trusting in the peace of God. And trusting in the purpose of God for your life. I don't know what God's got for you. I'll tell you what he had for you tonight. Go to church. He had that same thought for a lot of people, but they didn't obey him. You know what that tells me? They don't have a right heart. Aren't you glad you're at church tonight? You go home and say, I got a right heart tonight. That's the reward. Is the peace of God that says, I did right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say all the time, do right, do right, do right. He also said that right is right when nobody's doing it. And wrong if everybody's doing it. You go. We need a seeking heart. We need a trusting heart. Let me close. Get verse 7 again. That same verse 7, chapter 28. The Bible says, I'm a spot here. Where am I at here? Oh, I went back to the wrong place. Let me go back to chapter 27. There it is. And look what it says in verse number 7. But the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth with my song till I praise him. How do we have a right heart? Simple. Have a seeking heart. Look for what God's got for you. Number two, have a trusting heart. When he gives it to you, trust him for it. He makes you a promise, trust him for it. He'll never break a promise. Because the Bible said man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And then we need to have a rejoicing heart. Kind of hard to have a rejoicing heart when you've got a bitter heart. It's hard to have a rejoicing heart when you have a broken heart. Now, I'm talking about broken, not right with God. It's hard to rejoice when you have a burdened heart. And the burden in your heart is not for someone, but it's against them. That all starts with that seed of bitterness. When Satan, that's the one seed. The Bible, Paul said, you talk about souls. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos waters, but God give it the increase. I'm telling you, the devil likes to water his seed too. And he waters that seed of bitterness.
Oh my.
I've seen so bad, and I've seen their lives ruined over bitterness. But getting it right, they just carry it on. Well, what about this rejoicing? Well, you need to rejoice in the good times.
today. Kelly, this may not be a good time for you right now. But there's two things that you can remember. One, you testified about, and that is that your mother was a godly woman. The second thing is she's not going to be this way forever. She's going to heaven one day. And God didn't say that when you get here, you're just going to have to live like you lived. He said, when you get here, I'm going to give you a brand new body. But she was a beautiful lady. She worked at Taps, and she was very fashionable. I mean, buddy, I'm telling you right now, she dressed to the nines. She'd tell you if you weren't dressed right. She'd tell you if you didn't match. I mean, but she had an eye for that stuff, man. She'd come to church. I mean, when you saw her away from home, I mean, every hair was in place. I mean, her makeup was right. Boy, she fixed up. But more than that, she just had a sweet spirit about her. So you look at it and say, wow, that's a really, well, what's the term, put together? Isn't that what Brother Bobby said? You're put together or something like that? Or what's that he says, G? Oh, thank you. I appreciate your help. I married her to keep my memory. Now hers is failing. We're both in trouble now. If somebody follows home, we might not make it. Amen. We might not be able to find our way home. But she's always put together. I'll just say that. She was put together. Boy, she'd come to church, and boy, she'd be fixed up. But when she sat down at the piano, boy, it didn't matter if her smile was crooked. It didn't matter if her hair was out of place. She got to honoring God by playing that piano. That was the only thing that mattered. But if she didn't play that, like Betty said, only person I know that can play the piano, sing, and shout, and do it all at once. I mean, I've never seen nothing like it. Boy, she'd get excited. She'd start to weep and cry. Boy, we'd have good times around there. I'm telling you, she had a rejoicing heart. Rejoice in the good times. By the way, that's not that hard to do. What about rejoicing the grieving times? Been there? We've all been there, haven't we? And if we live long enough, we're going to be there again. Remember, the same God that sees hearts already has the response to whatever it is that's coming in your life. And even when he gives it to us, sometimes we don't accept it correctly. You know, because Kelly, to her mother, bad news. So I can tell her what any pastor would tell her, any Christian, hey, trust the Lord. You know what? That's exactly right. But you know, I've gone to people with that very good, and it's really the only good advice to give. And they say, you don't tell me nothing better than that. That don't help me, preacher. Well, it should. That's exactly what ought to help you, is trusting in the Lord. When you have those grieving times, listen, I don't know how the world, I don't know how to keep their sanity. Go through what they go through now, and you know, it's just going to get worse. The Bible said in the last days that men's hearts would wax worse and worse. And if they are, we sit right in front of them. So their way out is suicide or alcohol or drugs or, you know, just thieving life, as it were. Really, folks, as Christians, we don't have that option. If we're Christians, we don't have that option. And we don't need that option. We don't need, suicide ought not to be an option for Christians. It is, but you know when it is? When your heart's not right. When your heart's right, you can grieve and still rejoice. When your heart's right in the good times, you'll rejoice. And you can rejoice in godly times. You know, we'll say sometimes, they'll see somebody like Marge or somebody shout, and they'll say something like this, boy, I wish I had that. But why you don't? Heart's not right. Your heart's not right. That's all. If you get your heart right, that opens up receptacles for God. And if your heart's right, you will not be ashamed to let everybody know you're happy. Amen? That's right. Happy in the Lord. Well, you've got to make a decision now. You want to carry that burden, broken, bitter heart. You want one that keeps off, one that trusts God. One that rejoices in. I want that kind of heart that I
fail him often. And it's sad when you know what to do and you don't do it anyway. You know what I mean? And the doctor says, now here's what you can do to at least, maybe not cure the problem, but at least it'll give you some relief. And you go home to that doctor that we're talking about. You go on the internet and read some quack what he said. You say, you know, I kind of like that better. Then you try it. You go, this ain't working. But why did you do what the doctor said? I don't trust him. He's too young. He's just out fresh out of school here, I was talking about. You can't say that about God, can you? And we say that God doesn't know what he's talking about? Oh, no. And we say that he's too young? No, he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's been around a while. He's got a reputation. He's got experience. He's been helping folks ever since he made them. Thank you for helping. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I pray that as we face a new week here in Columbia, our folks here at Anchor, Lord, I have no idea. I don't even have any idea what's going to happen in my own life, let alone see something in someone else's life. Lord, when we get up in the morning and face the day, we're going to have to face that day either with a broken, burdened, and bitter heart or seeking, trusting, and rejoicing heart. And our day, whatever happens, will be modeled after what kind of heart you wake up with. So, Lord, tonight would be a good night here at the altar to come and say, Lord, give me the right kind of heart. Help me to have a right heart. I don't want to have the kind of heart that hates the Lord. I don't want to have the kind of heart that just totally disobeys. I don't want to have a heart that says, do your own thing, be your own boss, you're your own God. That hasn't worked. in human history, and it's not going to start working tomorrow. Help us to do what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Help us now in this invitation moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.